We are celebrating the holy night of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. I know when we usually speak about the holy night, we think of Christmas Eve. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. But that holy night of the Lord's birth took place for the sake of this holy night of his resurrection. The Lord Jesus was born so that he could die and rise again for our salvation. Let me say, first of all, it's a great joy to be able to be together in person for the Easter Vigil. Our last Easter Vigil together in person was in 2019. The pandemic has given us not only an experience of the tomb with the long lockdowns, but now also a new appreciation of freedom from the tomb, resurrection. 2 years is a long time to be in the tomb. So we are right to welcome this experience of resurrection in person. Hallelujah. Well, today is also our first Easter in this newly rebuilt church. It was only blessed last December, so it's still new to us. And we come to the culmination of the progression of all these stained glass images in the ceiling. I'm sure you have seen them. They start there at the entrance with the Annunciation, where it all begins, when the Word becomes flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And then the next one, the birth of Jesus, is an image of the Holy Family there, the second stained glass image. And then in the middle, image of the baptism of the Lord, the beginning of Jesus' public life. And then the fourth one here, Jesus' agony in the garden, which represents his whole passion. We celebrated that 2 days ago and yesterday. The passion leads us here to the altar and to the cross and then to the resurrection. So that culmination of these stained glass images brings us here to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Beautiful. The resurrection, after all, is the highlight of the church's year. In fact, tonight is the highlight of the church's whole liturgical year. It's the center of our whole faith. Everything in our faith comes together in this Paschal Triduum. So on Thursday, we reflected on the call to service, on the gift of the Eucharist, on the role of the priests. On Friday, we reflected on Jesus completing his mission through all his sufferings, all the way to his death on the cross, where he said, "It is finished." May the Good Friday. Until this moment, this mother of all vigils, when we celebrate a sudden shift from the cold darkness of the tomb to the warm brightness of the new fire. That's this big candle here. The new fire. It's the shift from darkness to light, from death to life. Now, there's no one scripture passage that can capture this whole story. This whole message is too big, it's too great. Even the apostles didn't get it at first. No one did. The fact is, no one was even expecting him to rise on the third day. Even though he repeatedly told them he was going to rise again on the third day, when it actually happened, they were all taken completely by surprise. In the gospel that I just read from St. Luke, the women went to the tomb at daybreak, not to meet the risen Lord Jesus, but to anoint his dead body. But he wasn't there. The stone was rolled away, and the tomb was empty, and they couldn't figure out what happened. Then two angels appeared to them and asked them this very provocative question: why do you seek the living one among the dead? Bakit ninyo hinahanap ang buhay sa gitna ng mga patay? He told you he would rise on the third day. Well, it happened. He rose. And then it says here, the women remembered what Jesus had said. So they go running to the apostles to announce the good news to them. And what does it say here? Their story seemed like nonsense, and they did not believe them. Like nonsense. So what we celebrate tonight, the greatest news of all, the greatest event of all, is also difficult to take in. It might even seem like nonsense to some people. Well, the church, recognizing this challenge and knowing that one scripture passage is not enough, gives us in the Easter Vigil many readings, which makes for a very long Mass, as you know. Maybe I shouldn't say it, but we've been here for almost an hour and a half already. Don't go looking at your watches, but it's a long Mass. It's not a Mass to which we normally bring children, but I remember the story of the father who brought his young son to the Easter Vigil. Maybe there are some young people here. It's not a child-friendly Mass, but there might be children here. Anyway, this father brought his son, he was about 8 or 9 years old, to the Easter Vigil. And he told the boy, you know, it's going to be very long. But the boy was determined to go with his father to the Easter Vigil. So they went and got off to a very good start. I mean, there's the fire, and there's the darkness, and the candles, and everybody loves candles in the dark, a candlelight procession. Who could not like that? 8 years old, 80 years old. It's beautiful. It's moving. The music. And then the readings. First reading about the creation. That was okay for the boy. He heard that story about 6 days of creation. Second reading came along, something about Abraham and sacrifice of his son Isaac. Well, that sounded a little bit familiar. I mean, the boy had heard some Bible stories. Then the third reading, that great story about the parting of the Red Sea and the Israelites passing through. He had seen that in a movie. So the boy was saying, wow, I think I can get this. But then there were more readings and more Psalms. And he didn't know what they were talking about. Maybe the father didn't either, I don't know. Not even the adults can't follow it all or keep focusing. After about, 6 or 7 readings, the boy started to think, well, wait a minute now. He said it was going to be long. And then he whispered to his father, Daddy, are they going to read the whole Bible? Magbabasama sila ng buong Biblia? Well, of course, we didn't read the whole Bible, but even if we did read the whole Bible, we still might not get the message. You see, tonight's liturgy is not simply recounting something that happened, a marvel that happened a long time ago. This is also our story. We have been trapped in the darkness of sin. We have been locked into a tomb of vices and weaknesses and sufferings and injustices, and we have been set free by the power of Christ's resurrection. We don't just look at this big Easter candle and rejoice. We hold our own candle. This is our story. Now there's more to come. Don't go home yet. Imagine what would happen if you came to the Easter Vigil and you stayed for the fire and the candles and the song and all the readings, and then you went home. You said, oh, it's long enough, it's been an hour and a half, I might as well go home. I mean, most Masses are over by now. What if you missed the renewal of the baptismal vows? What if you missed being sprinkled with the Easter holy water? What if you missed the opportunity to receive Holy Communion? Well, you might go home and say, well, that was a nice ceremony. That was a nice story. Magandang kwento yan. Kwento lang. And then you turn on the news or open their internet connection and you would be hit with lots of bad news. What about the victims of the landslides in the eastern Visayas, the floods, Mindanao and Leyte and those areas? Dozens and dozens of people died. They're still in the tomb. In fact, the rescuers can't even find some of the bodies buried under the mud. What about those people in Ukraine, victims of that horrible invasion? The war has been going on for 50 days already, longer than Lent. Thousands of people have died. They're still in the tomb, if they've been buried at all. And millions of people, in fact, some 10 million people or more, have had to flee their homes. So what is this Easter story? What is this Easter joy in the light of these tragedies that are right in our face? So this is important because if we can't see the connection between the tragedies of our life, the tragedies of the world today, and the victory of Jesus Christ, well then we miss the whole message. So we don't simply light candles and listen to scripture passages. We take a further step in the Easter Vigil. We take a step to apply the victory of Christ to ourselves. And the connection between what Christ has done and what we experience in this valley of tears is made solid, if you could use that word, it's made real in the sacraments. Starting with baptism and culminating with Holy Communion, the Eucharist. That's why in the Easter Vigil, we renew the vows of our baptism and we receive the Eucharist, Holy Communion. This applies the awesome power of Jesus' resurrection to us tonight and to the world. The whole glorious story of Easter, the whole story of Jesus' victory over sin and death, lands right on us, put right in our mouth, sprinkled right on our heads, if we have faith. And in fact, it lands on the whole world, all people, living and dead. It's Christ's resurrection expands to every need. So this is the story. This is what we celebrate. Christ is alive. He is risen, alleluia. We sing alleluia, alleluia again and again, and we should. He suffered, yes, he suffered. Like all who are suffering right now and all who have suffered. Even when he's risen, he still has wounds. He faced horrible injustice and pain like so many people right now. He's not cut off from the suffering. He died. Like so many people who have died even recently. But he is alive again. And because he is alive, we have life. Christ is alive and he lives forever. Because he is alive and lives forever, we will live forever in him. That's the Easter message. This is our Easter joy. This is our Easter hope. This is the good news we have to share with the world. Alleluia, alleluia.